Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel, and we are here on the bed with Pearl. How are you, Emily?
When did she get so big?
Yeah, she
Pearl
is enormous.
Girl.
Yeah, I'm walking her now like 2.5 miles every day, and she still is destroying the house. I got a job, and we figured now that we're actually, my job, I think, is just covering the damage that she does on a weekly basis.
Yeah. This week it was her bed she shredded, and
your sneakers, yeah, and she, your brand new sneakers.
My Chucks. And then last night she nearly killed herself. I went outside to play with the boys, and I came back in, and she was on the table and had eaten a bunch of chicken bones.
Yeah, yeah. So
Harrison's chicken bones.
Yeah, she's still living over 24 hours later, so we'll see. Hopefully they digest. Do they digest inside of her? Or are they
the
just
vet? I called the vet freaking out, and he said she should be able to digest them.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't seen him come out in her poop yet, but we'll see what happens. Anyways, on that note, who is our guest today? And we have two guests. We have Nathan Opposition from Vessel of Light and Ancient Wisdom. And who else, Emily?
Someone I look forward to speaking with almost every year. This must be my fourth interview with her, Mrs. Wendy Dio.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always an honor that she comes on our podcast to talk about all the great stuff she has going on, the charities she's running to help raise money to fund the Ronnie James Dio Cancer Fund.
Yep.
Yeah, which is just a great cause. So without further ado, since we have so much going on here, let's get right into Emily's interview with Wendy Dio. To take us into the interview, this is some heaven and hell. This is Adam and Evil by, again, Heaven and Hell, here on Talking Metal, followed by Emily's interview with Wendy Dio.
Up to the flag.
Bowling.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to introduce our guest today, a woman I've had the honor of interviewing a few times before for the podcast. It's always a pleasure to speak with Wendy Dio. So you're busy,
hi,
huh?
Hi, how you doing? I'm doing good. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm always so impressed with everything you do to raise money for the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund, and which raises a ton of money for an amazing cause in Ronnie's name. And your next event is coming up soon. You're very busy. Tell us what you have planned.
Well, we have our annual Bowl for Ronnie, which is on the 7th of November. And at Pins Bowling Place in Studio City again. It's always a fun event, which we have a real fun time with celebrity bowlers. And Eddie Trunk always hosts it for us. And it's a great night to raise money for a great cause and have a great fun night for everyone.
Wonderful. And so what celebrities and musicians will be involved this year? I know you have a lot of repeat people come every. I know Tom Morello has done it for a few years. And who else do you have on for this year?
We have Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath. And we have a lot of other people that are like on, not quite sure if they're coming yet, because, of course, everybody comes and gives their time and their talent for us. So people can't confirm until the last minute because they may have a show or something going on that they have to do.
Exactly. But
we have so many. We have mostly all the people that come the year before, but we have a special guest this year. We have Jason Belmonte. Now, he is probably not known in the music business, but he's a world-class bowler. He's from Australia, and he's been a world champion bowler for many years in a row. And he's going to come and give a lesson, probably to Eddie Trunk. Eddie doesn't know this yet. on how to actually bowl. And he's got lots of other things up his sleeve for us. So it's going to be a real fun and different kind of evening this time.
So, but that's an unfair advantage. Whoever gets him on their team, that's
well,
he should be disqualified.
I don't Yeah, exactly. I don't think he'll be allowed to be on anyone's team. There'll be a big fight if he is.
Exactly. Exactly. So how can our fans and our listeners go about attending the event? And, you know, is it tickets or how does this work?
Oh, okay. You just go to the geocancerfund.org on our site, and you can buy it, purchase tickets there, or you can be a spectator, or you can bowl. I think bowling is $75, includes your shoes and pizza. Or if you want to just be a spectator, it's $50. Or if you want to buy a lane, it's $19.95, which is almost $2,000. But for that, you get to go up into the VIP room, hang out with everyone. You get six bowlers and 12 drink tickets. And a real fun evening. So we've got a lot of sponsors already, but we're still looking for more lanes to sell.
Wonderful. I mean, it's just such a fun night. I know people who've gone. This is your fifth annual. You've done this 5 years in a row, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And it's nice.
And it's going to be real fun.
Yeah. Huh? I mean, always a blast. And the nice thing is you do give people all sorts of different options, right, to participate in your events. And I know the other big event you do each year is Ride for Ronnie. And it's, you know, a motorcycle ride, a super fun concert. But people always say, oh, I don't have a motorcycle. It's like, well, you always find ways to include everyone, even if
you don't need a motorcycle. No, they just come and listen to the bands. The same as next year, of course, is 10 years of Ronnie's passing. So we're doing a big gala at the Wilton in Los Angeles. And that will be an awards show, but also lots of surprises, some musical people. And also that will be tickets for the general public. It will just be $25 to come and see, have a great evening. And then we'll have tables for sale and programs and so on and so forth. We haven't got it exactly sorted out yet. We're just getting the invite together. But that's going to be a fun evening. And I hope a lot of the fans will come from all over the world for that, to celebrate Ronnie's 10th passing and celebrate his life.
It sounds amazing. And it's so nice that financially you don't exclude people. So they have the opportunity to give as much or as little as they want. You don't exclude people based on their financial status.
No.
That's fantastic. And that's the way Ronnie would have wanted it, right?
Yeah. Ronnie would have always wanted to make sure his fans were taken care of. Absolutely. He loved his fans more than anything.
Absolutely. So I know one thing that struck me, and I've been wanting to ask you about this. So last year I'm reading headlines about the, you know, Ride for Ronnie 2000, you know, I guess it was the 2019 Ride for Ronnie or was whatever one happened last.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Dave Grohl showed up.
He did.
Tell me how this happened.
He was in the supermarket shopping with his kids, and a fan went up to him and said, are you going to Ronnie's Ride for Ronnie? He goes, well, I am now. And he came over and he was so gracious.
Oh my gosh. He played.
And then we just recently had a barbecue with him.
Did you really?
We had a big fundraiser at my house, and he came and barbecued, and we ended up making it a fundraiser. So it was donations, and we raised $47,000 for the charity.
Oh my
gosh. But it
was
so much fun. He came and brought his big smoker, which is a big 10-foot smoker.
Yeah.
And Metallica donated their, they have their own beer, and they donated their beer, and they donated their mixologists and their whiskey drinks. And Tito's Handmade Vodka donated their vodka. So we had a real fun hold-out. We had a hold-out. There was bands playing and everything. It was such a fun time.
That's amazing.
But, you know, Dave Grohl is so generous with his time, and he does it for the firemen. He does it when all the fire's happening.
Yeah.
He's just such an amazing person.
Right?
He gives so much to everyone.
Like, he's about as famous as they come, and it's never gone to his head, you know? It's really nice to see that.
No, absolutely not.
So I'm really envious, because here I am on the East Coast, and I consider Ronnie my favorite ever, and I don't ever get to participate. I need to fly out west, or maybe you'll come out and do something out east.
Well, you know what? We do have in the works putting an East Coast bowling team together. And we also are talking about doing it for the Midwest as well. So this is what we're in the, I think hopefully by next year, we will have in place our both, we're trying to spread our wings and have a West East Coast, West Coast, and Midwest bowl for Ronnie and ride for Ronnie.
Well, I'm waiting. And if you need any volunteers to help you organize on the East Coast, I'm in. I'm not joking. You can
Don't
give me a call.
Don't ever say that to me.
But I'm actually quite serious. Hey, I'm a project manager.
No,
I'm good at this stuff. So I always like to talk a little bit about the fund, the cancer fund, you know, and we talk a lot about the fundraisers. But I know we talked a little bit about Dr. Sandeep Kapoor, you know, working with the cancer fund. Can you tell me a little bit about who he is? And what his involvement is?
Okay, so, yes, Dr. Kapoor was our doctor many, many years ago. We used to use him for travel, as he's a travel doctor as well, for, you know, the inoculations for travel and to go to for colds and sniffs and sneezes. And he was Ronnie's doctor, and he was actually the one that diagnosed Ronnie with the cancer. I had been to specialists and everything years beforehand, because Ronnie always had indigestion, and they would just test his his heart and do all these other tests, but just say, oh, it's just a gas bubble. Well, you know, had I known what I know now, I would have made sure he had a colonoscopy and an ultrasound and did all those things. But anyway, Dr. Kapoor did discover that he had cancer and was so amazing with us. And he went with us to we went to MD Anderson in Houston, which was the best hospital for cancer. And he was our doctor, and he was amazing. He was there every minute of the day. And Ronnie's last time in the hospital, Dr. Kapoor was there. And in fact, Dr. Kapoor and I together formed Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. He's on the board, and he's very diligent about getting different things happening. He got us introduced to Dr. Wong, which we're working with at the moment at UCLA.
The saliva test. Is this the saliva test?
The saliva test. Yes. He's working on that, which is fantastic. And that would tell you if you had any gastric cancers, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, all the killers. And men, because women are pretty good about getting checked. Men are always terrible. You have to drag them there because they don't like the way the test is. But this way, this would be non-invasive, just a swab in the mouth and then send it away. And it would be really early detection. And we're hoping to have that. That test should be ready by next year, we're hoping very much, and it will be amazing. It will be a great breakthrough for our early screening of cancers.
It will, and it's really the wave of the future for diagnosing cancers, you know? These non-invasive technologies are so important because exactly how you, as you said, who wants to have a colonoscopy? I mean, people do it because you have to
do
it.
You would still have to have that if you were diagnosed.
If you're diagnosed.
But, you know, men mostly don't want to go because they put the finger up the bum. And that's what they don't like.
Exactly.
Never mind what us women have to go through.
Good point,
so
Wendy.
So it's basically to start early detection. Obviously, once you're detected with it, you would have to go on with the rest of the test. But it will be early detection. And early detection saves lives. It can be cured. It can be operated on if it's early enough.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, Ronnie was stage four before it was detected. And that's just, you know, and that's those are killer cancers.
Yeah. I mean, what a beautiful thing that you're taking your story and you're spreading the word about ways people can avoid what happened to Ronnie, you know, and it's just amazing what you're doing.
But if we can save just one life, it's worth it all, you know, obviously I'd love to save everybody, but one life would be worth it all.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what else is going on. I know the hologram, last time I spoke with you, we talked about that. And I know you did some tweaks and people really had great feedback on that. Do you plan to use it for any more shows or tours?
Yeah, actually, yes. Probably next year. We're just working on getting even more stuff happening with it. You know, I mean, more footage of Ronnie, more things. We took it out There was a lot of like not quite sure if anyone wanted it. It was like yay, nay. But the people that saw it, everyone that saw it, saw that it was an absolute show that we brought. We brought a show, and it was a celebration of Ronnie's life. We in the end we were doing sold out shows because the word of mouth was so. It was a fantastic show, and we saw that people would like to see more and more of these different old shots of Ronnie and things like that. So we're going through the archives and finding more things, and we'll make it an even bigger and better show next time.
Yeah. And the only thing that bothered me about that was that people who had anything bad to say about it, they were all watching like videos and stuff, like horrible videos on YouTube.
Exactly.
And it drove me nuts because I said, you can't judge a live show, much less a hologram show from a video.
No, so, you have to see it. You have to see it live.
And just that drove me nuts because everyone I know who saw it, I just had wonderful things to say about it. So,
It was a bittersweet night. It was real fun, and it was bittersweet. As I said, it was very sad to see, but it was not. It was happy.
Yeah.
The hologram, I think, was very happy. The sad parts for me were some of the footage that was shown of Ronnie, and I remember the times when that was shot, and that kind of brought back memories to me. But the hologram, I think the hologram was something Ronnie would have liked, would have approved of. He was always trying to make a hologram. He he had in 1985, we did the Sacred Heart tour with a ball of like him in a speaking in a big crystal ball hanging above the stage. And that was on a rear projection, but we were trying to make a hologram then. And he was always really enthralled with Disneyland and all the holograms that went on there. So I know that he was always into technology. So I do this without thinking of anything that he would love it. I wouldn't do anything that Ronnie didn't want me to do. And I know that he would approve it.
100%.
And we're hoping to. Yeah, we're hoping to bring it to the award show, actually, that we do the gala for Ronnie's 10th anniversary.
Oh,
we're
wow.
working on that right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I might have to come out to LA for that one.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely.
I would love to.
It's going to be on the 20th of February 20. So it's 2020.
Oh, I love it. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you spoke a little bit about Geezer is going to be, you know, planning to be there for the bowl for Ronnie. And so it reminds me of, you know, back, it's probably around 2005 or so when Ronnie announced that he'd be working with Tony and Geezer and Vinny again in Heaven and Hell, the band Heaven and Hell. How were you? I know, of course, you were involved in that. But what are your memories? What was your involvement with that?
I just know that Ronnie was really happy to be back with the Sabs again. It was kind of unfinished business when he left in the 90s. And I think it was something that was really wonderful that he was able to do that before he passed away, to be back again with the Sabs. And they were all playing very fantastically together. And the shows were amazing. And they were just loving each other. And it was just a really wonderful homecoming for him, I think.
Absolutely. And when they chose, obviously, Heaven and Hell, everyone knows the album. Did they decide to call it Heaven and Hell, or was it something, was there pressure from Ozzy and Cher not to call it Black Sabbath? Because really, you know, some of my favorite Black Sabbath albums are the Dio albums. So, you know, did they just decide to stay away from that legacy and not call it Black Sabbath?
I think
Sabbath?
It was just to stop confusion because they had been, you know, I think it was just to stop confusion. It wasn't, no one told us we couldn't do this or we couldn't do that. It was just something that was to stop confusion.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a lot of people may not know, a lot of people do know that you were, you know, you managed a lot of bands. Like you worked with a band called Hellion back in the 80s, which was one of the first female fronted metal bands. Any memories you can share about working with Anne Boleyn and Hellion back in the day?
Oh, that was a long time ago. Yes, but I'm still friends with Anne Boleyn. She still comes and sometimes she sings at our events. And she's a very good friend. We still see her all the time.
That's great.
Yes.
You worked with Rough Cut. Were there other bands you managed? And I've heard rumors that you
Alcatraz.
Helped... Oh, Alcatraz.
Quiet Riot when Paul Shortino was in the band. A band called Cooney, which was a Japanese guy. Oh, I worked with a lot of Love Hate. And in fact, Love Hate, Jizzy Pearl was just opened, was a support act for us on the hologram.
Oh,
with,
he was.
Jizzy Pearls Love Hate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
So we still keep contact with all the people that, you know, I think the music business is a very small business and we still keep contact. Everyone seems to know everyone and we're still there.
It's still a family, you know? I mean, I know there have been, other bands, you know, where there are rivalries or whatever, but it doesn't seem to have ever touched you. Everyone speaks so highly of you. And the fact that they come back and do these events for you and want to stay involved just speaks volumes, not just of you, of Ronnie, you know?
I think it's because of Ronnie, and he was just a wonderful person that everybody loved. But also, I think that the music business, especially the heavy metal people that always get the rough end of the stick, or those dirty heavy metal people, but they, you know what? They are the kindest, nicest people in the world. They give their so much time and so much time with their time and their talent for these different charity events, not just mine, but for all the different charity events. They're always there. They're always ready and willing to give back to society, which I think is a wonderful thing. And a lot of people, you know, as I said, they always think, oh, yeah, well, the actors don't seem to do as much as what I think the musicians do.
Absolutely. It seems like one big family to me. So I'm so excited for you for the Bowl for Ronnie. I want all of our West Coast, even if you're East Coast, Midwest, you can make the trip. There's still time to get tickets. November 7th, you can see all of the details on the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund website. Is that probably the best place to go to get the info?
Absolutely, yeah, diocancerfund.org. Also, another thing, it hasn't been announced yet, but it will be announced. Eddie Trunk, he did it last year, and he has his celebrity team, and he auctions off a place on his bowling team to bowl with the celebrities. So he will be auctioning that off soon. It's not up for sale yet, but he will be doing that very soon, which is a real fun. We had last year, we had a gentleman come out, and he had such a fun time. It was just crazy. So he gets to bowl with the team. And actually, he bowled with the winning team and they all got the awards. So it was fun.
What is the award? Do you have trophies? Are you?
We have trophies. Yeah, we have trophies. And we have medals. And we have the horse's ass for the least score as well.
Do you know what team you're going to bowl on this year?
Oh, I don't bowl. I just watch. I'm not a bowler.
I do ride on that,
but I don't bowl.
I know. Well, what I was picturing? I know you have a pink helmet. I have a good memory.
I have
a pink helmet for your ride for Ronnie. And I was picturing you with your pink bowling ball. And now my hopes are shattered.
I might have to go buy one now just to pretend for some photos.
I would love it. Well, Wendy, it's a pleasure speaking with you as always. One of these days I'm coming out west, but if you come out east, I'm very serious. I will definitely be participating whatever you do East Coast, and best of luck with the event.
Thank you, Emily, so much. And thank you for your continued support. You know, without people like you, we couldn't do this. So thank you so much.
Always, always. Take care, Wendy.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You watch the faces. You'll see the traces of the things they want to be. But only we can see. They come for killing. They leave it still, it seems. The crowd is left behind. We'll be right back.
That was We Rock by Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, Dio on that one. Vivian Campbell?
Yes.
Jimmy Bain?
Guess what?
Vinny
Appice. We get to see Viv. How's he doing, by the way?
Yeah, I heard he had like back surgery recently, but Last in Line is out there playing their original music and also some of the music that Vivian and Vinny did with Dio, the first three Dio solo albums.
And Def Leppard's still doing stuff too.
He's a busy man for sure.
He's got to be doing, you know, pretty well. I mean, there's no way he could keep up the schedule if he weren't feeling okay, right?
Yeah, I guess. I assume he's doing well enough to be out there touring. And of course, don't forget about Dio Disciples, who Wendy manages. They're out there keeping the Dio music alive and well too, and that's with Craig Goldie and Simon Wright.
One of my favorite interviews you've ever done, actually.
Yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, so it's always. I spoke with Craig twice, and that first interview I did with him was just great. So it's great that so many members of the Dio band are out there keeping his music alive. We support both Last in Line and Dio Disciples. I hate when I see those two bands feuding in the press. There's just no reason for it, in my opinion. We're all here celebrating the great music that Ronnie left us with. And so Last in Line, we're going to see them at Mexicali, which we saw them there before, but now it's called something else now. Gosh, what Debonair Music Hall. Yeah, so that's where we're going to see
him.
It's going to be
so much fun. I got so choked up a couple of those songs, you know? Like, I don't know. I miss Ronnie so much. Like, it just hits me, like, in my gut every time I listen to him.
Absolutely.
Still to this day, you know?
What a voice. And we always celebrate Ronnie James Dio here. So make sure you support the Cancer Fund that Wendy is running. We'll have links up in today's show notes where you can make a donation. And I really recommend you do that. I did want to make a couple announcements. Today, I quit, Emily, this company called The Midroll that has sporadically provided us with ads for probably the last 4 or 5 years. They wanted me to move my RSS feed and kind of take over control of it. And honestly, I mean, I was only getting, like, I get $100 from them. Like, you know, we had the YouTube music thing. We probably made $600 off of that. That was last year. And then we had the Tool ad recently. I made like $100 off of that. It's just
What's
like
the benefit
not
of them taking over your RSS feed?
Because they want to control the numbers and they don't trust me and all the other podcasters to report their own numbers, I guess. And they want to have more control over the content. They want to be able to place ads on the podcast, like at the beginning without the podcaster having put it on the MP3 file. It just seemed like they wanted too much control. And honestly, I was getting nothing from them.
Yeah, seriously. So, you've been doing this since 2005. You don't.
Yeah. And I know I did want to take a minute to plug Patreon. So now more than ever, guys, commercial free, really. I mean, if Heavy Montreal wants me to run an ad, of course I'll run that. And they don't really pay me. They fly us up there for the show. But in general, from this point onward, Talking Metal is commercial free. And that means we need your support. I want to give a big shout out to BJ and his son Brody, because they both bought hoodies, Talking Metal hoodies, which I have for sale. Talking Metal t-shirts, which are $20. And Patreon. I know I've been slacking a little bit with the Patreon content. I did start a new job. Emily can vouch. I've been the first 3 weeks of training. We're literally 45 hours a week, right? Emily, you can vouch that. And not weekends, horrible hours, quite frankly. But it's supposed to mellow out.
Yeah,
she can vouch that I've barely been here at all. So, I'm going to get back on the Patreon horse and we're going to get you some great exclusive content. And it's just a great way to support the show. The ad-free, commercial-free Talking Metal podcast. So I just wanted to say that. Right now, let's get into Refugee. This is the Tom Petty cover. Oh, she's pointing at I got to stop. Emily is pointing at her Heavy Montreal socks.
Yeah, I just realized
which they
I was
gave
wearing
us when we were up at Heavy Montreal, which is where we saw Ghost over the summer and a lot of other great bands in this moment and Slayer. We're seeing Ghost again this Friday, by the way, with Nate, my nephew.
We get
so
to take,
that'll be fun. our friend
our
Watt White is coming down to Trenton, which is a hike. Yeah, so it'll be fun. Trenton, New Jersey, which is not, it's a town I used to work in a long time ago when I lived down in that area, but it's not exactly
installing
close.
Installing cable?
Yeah, to where we live right now. Yeah,
I
was a cable installer, climbing
like
the ladder.
Climbing the ladders.
Yeah, it was freezing. People coming
like
after me with knives.
And like dogs trying to kill you in people's backyards.
People wouldn't answer the door. I'd be trying to get them to pay their bill, ringing the door. Then they wouldn't answer the door. I could hear the TV blaring inside the apartment or the house, and no one would answer
the
door.
They're not coming to the door.
And then as soon as I'd throw up the ladder, climb the pole, snip the cord, the door would fly open, you know, and the pit bull would run out, and the guy come up and screaming at me, and I'd throw the ladder on the truck and skid out of there. So it was, those were
funny.
Crazy. And I
That's
feel like,
really rough, man.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like if we did collect, because these were the people who hadn't paid their bills in like 4 months,
sure.
You know, and I feel like if we did collect that, we actually got a cut of it. And it was like the time where you could make bonus money.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know,
if they wrote out a check to you, like
yeah,
in
you
that
got
moment,
part, you got like,
but you were
got like
an
10%.
Installer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
but
cuckoo town.
Yeah. It was cuckoo.
Anymore.
It was cuckoo. And I was such a bad installer that they wouldn't send me to the nice neighborhoods. Cause you know, when I nailed the wire down, it would be all crooked and you know, it would be like going through tree branches and stuff. So I got designated to, let's just say
not great
to be
neighborhoods.
Yeah. We used to call it the ghetto back in the day, but
no, you can't say that.
I can't say that. Okay. All right. Well, you guys know what I mean. Let's Walnut Avenue in Trenton, New Jersey. Look it up. That was my stomping ground with Comcast cable. Anyways, in the late 80s, that was. Anyways, I had, so let's get into this song. This is Refugee. This is Rob Dukes on vocals, the Tom Petty cover, Refugee. Again, Rob Dukes of Generation Kill and Exodus fame on vocals, Craig Cifola on drums. It's good stuff. Check this out, Emily.
Real big secret, all the same, somehow we get around it.
Refugee, and that is by Rob Dukes. Craig's a full on drums. The project is called New Messiah, and their debut album is coming out soon. Rob isn't on all the songs, but he's on a lot of them. Other members of Exodus are on. Not that Rob is still in Exodus, he's Exodus, but current members of Exodus are on this record. A lot of special guests. Definitely check it out. And it's great. I think it sounds great. And I know Rob told me the songs that he does on the record, they really meant a lot to him because they were songs that he grew up on and his parents used to love. So it was kind of an emotional thing for him to cover these songs.
Rob.
Yeah, Rob's great. Rob's great. And Refugee, the Tom Petty cover right there. That was great. At least I thought it was great. Anyways, let's keep going. We have right now the song For the Glory of the Grave by Ancient Wisdom right now here on Talking Metal, followed by my interview conducted outside of Dingbats with Nathan Opposition of Ancient Wisdom and Vessel of Light. Here we go.
Here in our hand, foresee the end of life. I hope you wonder.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and I'm here in New Jersey with Nathan Opposition of Ancient Wisdom and Vessel of Light. Nathan, how are you, man?
Doing great, Mark. Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. You guys have a show at Dingbats tonight, and when I say you guys, I'm referring to Vessel of Light, your band with Dan Lorenzo. We're going to talk all about that in a few minutes, but exciting news. Ancient Wisdom has a brand new record out, and on the day we are recording it, I think it just came out yesterday, right?
27th, yeah.
Yeah, it is, and if I butcher the pronunciation, please let me know. Mundus. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And wow, some great stuff on there, man. I mean,
thank you.
There's the glory to the grave, right?
Is that for the glory of the grave?
For the glory of the grave. Wow, yeah. I love that. And how at the end it just goes into this epic kind of like sludge jam at the end. You think the song's over, and then it kicks in. Great stuff. The lead off track, to remind me of the name, it is
Human Extinction.
Yeah, which I also love that one. So let's talk first about your band, Ancient Wisdom. One of two bands we'll be talking about today. Give us a little history on the band for people who might not know you guys.
Okay, cool.
I know you started off touring with Ghost way back when, and I'd love to hear some of those stories. But,
cool. But
yeah, just how many records do you guys have? Who's in the band?
This is our fifth LP. It's our fifth release. We've been a band since 2009. Started in Austin, Texas, and we started playing a lot of shows. We started to get a lot of offers. It was something that the sound wasn't very... reputable at the time. It was just something,
right,
I was doing, just this is the songs I write,
right?
You know what I mean? I wasn't writing for any sort of purpose. I was just writing the songs that I liked, and all of a sudden everybody was enjoying it, and we got signed to a couple record labels. We got hooked up with ICM, with Nick Storch, and Nick Storch put us on tour with Ghost. Tobias,
right,
asked us to do that tour, and we did that in 2012, just steady touring for 2 or 3 years there. We did tour with Enslaved, Paul Bearer, Royal Thunder. I pretty much played with every band that I love,
right,
and that,
right,
I've ever wanted
some
to play
really
with.
Great so bands.
Really
there, yeah.
Cool. I mean, I played with Dax Riggs from Acid Bath.
Wow.
Scott Kelly, Scott Wino.
Right.
Like, you name it, we played with them in Austin. It was just like, we had a lot of awesome opportunities to play with amazing artists and people who I really respect and I love as artists. So
you guys
really cool.
were in Austin? And then, but you're from Ohio, right?
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland originally. Yeah,
yeah.
Me and my brother, who's been a member of Ancient Wisdom since the beginning,
right,
we moved there, I think it was 2008, and we were there for about 7 years.
Okay.
And we formed Ancient Wisdom in 2009. I think we played our first show with Iron Age at Mohawk in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And that was in 2009. Yeah, and then I think we moved back to Cleveland in 2014, I want to say.
Okay.
And just kept the band going, you know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, it's always been me and Mike, so we just kept my brother, Michael,
yeah,
you know, the guitar player. So we just kept, you know, going at
it. You guys
it
write together?
Yeah, it depends on the song, too. Like, sometimes we'll collaborate on a tune.
Right.
Sometimes I'll write a song all the way through, and he'll add layers and his, you know, kind of touch to it, and... A lot of the times, it's a collaboration.
Right.
I write all the lyrics, come up with the concepts and all that.
Right, and I want to talk about the lyrics, too. But the one thing that I have a hard time doing with Ancient Wisdom is, you know, I mean, this is just part of human nature. You always want to put something in a box. Okay, it's this type of music. It's stoner rock. It's metal. It's, you know, it. And I can't do that with you guys. I really, and that's a good thing.
I think
this
is a compliment.
Yeah,
yeah, thanks.
I can't figure out where you guys fall, you know, as far as the category goes. And that's pretty cool because I almost feel like you're kind of starting your own genre there because you got the hard rock, the metal sounds, but there's also like this... like organic feel to it that I feel is so lacking in the metal world. This loose, I don't know what the word is, like organic, you know, feel that you might get like with like, you know, old rock, like 60s, you know, stoner surfer rock or something. I don't know. There's a lot going on there. So influence-wise, where are you pulling from?
For me, I mean, I listen to all kinds of different music, but the project was basically just like writing this, like going back to just writing the songs that I enjoy, writing, it doesn't matter, like I'm not trying to play any genre specifically. Right. I'm just trying to just write songs that I like. Right. And then when we go into the studio, the songs grow and they become what they became and that's it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've had a lot of guest musicians on a lot of different records. Wade Allison from Iron Age has played a lead on a couple of records. He's done like some stuff with us. You know, just we just have like guest musicians every now and then, and we just build our sound just from the core, you know what I mean? And then the song kind of blossoms and becomes what it is. So for me, it's just like a fun process to just not have a ceiling and not have like a genre or, you know, anything we fall into any sort of category. We just kind of write what comes naturally and layer it up how we want it to sound and what we think sounds appropriate for the album. That's what we go with, you know? And influences, I get any influence from like, I listen to, you know, Merciful Fate and Priest and all the old school classics from like, you know, then I listen to like Electric Wizard and, you know, all of you, you know, a lot of stoner stuff too, you know what I mean? So I'm like down with like a lot of different styles of music. I listen to like black metal, I listen to death metal, I listen to all kinds of different stuff.
Right.
So I guess maybe like lyrically, maybe I pull from like Deicide or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like... Well, you know, something darker, you know what I mean? That's right.
Yeah, well, something darker, sure. Lyrically, too, a theme that we've heard throughout your records, and it's something that I've been interested in, is the flip side, the left-hand path, which you've referenced in some of your songs on, you know... Okay, yeah, we'll wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Okay, yeah. The left-hand path, you know... the kind of alternate side of religion, maybe non-religion, I would say. What studying have you done of like the left-hand paths, what some people might consider Satanism?
A lot of Anton LaVey.
Yeah.
A lot of Crowley.
Because, you know, I had this conversation with Tobias of Ghost, and I mentioned Crowley, I mentioned Anton LaVey, who are two different, very different thinkers and different beliefs. And he agreed with that. Is he claimed that he didn't follow either one of them, but you pull from both of them?
I mean, some of my lyrics come directly from Anton LaVey's teachings.
Yeah.
So
I relate much more to LaVey than Crowley.
Comes from a different era.
Yeah.
I think
almost more atheist to me.
Yeah, and just the time period that it was in, it was a very different time for people, and Anton LaVey was kind of on the cusp of writing something that... was really connecting to people on a spiritual level, but not due to religion.
Right.
You know, it's more of like your own, just trusting yourself, believing in yourself, the basics, I mean, stuff that human nature is already a very big part of, you know. I really don't think it's like anything that anybody hasn't thought of.
Right.
He just put it to, you know, put it to words, you know, and wrote it. So for me, Anton LaVey is a huge influence.
And real quick, I know you got to run and do a sound check, but real quick, you actually worked with Charlie Manson, did some music with him. He's obviously back in the public mind a lot because of this Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. But can you just briefly, and then we'll let you go, talk about the work you did with Charlie?
Yeah, a lot of people reference Charlie and talk about him and all this stuff, but no one's ever really worked with him. I have. For me, it was just a unique opportunity. My outlook on it, and a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people, you know, obviously for obvious reasons.
Right.
For me, he's a musician. He's an artist.
Right.
And that isn't the best way to rehabilitate an artist or someone who is incarcerated, to give them something for their outlet, their creative outlet.
Sure.
So for me, that was just a good creative outlet for him.
Right.
It was an opportunity for him and an opportunity for me, for him to write some songs and to collaborate with a band. He's never done that before. So talking to Grey Wolf and getting my song cleared with Charlie, you know, he played him the tracks. Charlie approved of them. He liked the sound. He liked the sound of our record. So for me, it was really cool to just collaborate with a musician. It was just like doing a split with, like, any band. It was just like doing a... you know, two artists.
He did this obviously
together, you know?
In prison, like working on the stuff in prison, or was he? Did he get time out of prison? Like, was he able to leave?
I think what happened. So basically, to sum it up, I was working with Integrity at the time. I was a drummer for Integrity, right. And Dwight Hellion has been a big advocate of Manson's art and his music and stuff like that for a long time. And me and Dwight were in Poland, and he started playing me some tracks from the Charlie sessions that he had. And I'm like, where'd you get these sessions from? This is right. insane. Yeah, I'm friends with Grey Wolf. They want all the new releases to be on Holy Terror Records, his record label. And we discussed a little bit, hey, maybe if he's got a couple tracks, you know, then we could work on something together. And that's how the split kind of became what it is.
Wow.
And I emailed Grey Wolf. He got back to me right away. We talked to Charlie. We got it all sorted out with doing the split. And then I had a record label. It was friends of mine, Withdrawal Records. They put it out. We did 1,500 records.
Wow, that's amazing.
Sold out immediately. So it was a really cool experience. And for me, it was a very unique and a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. And
absolutely.
No band's ever done it before. So it was right. really unique, and I was really grateful to do it. And, you know, got a little backlash or whatever. But at the same time, going back to what I said, it's like therapeutic. To cool. write music.
Cool. Well, I know we got to wrap it because you're doing a sound check here, but we didn't really get to talk much about Vessel of Light, but we will play some Vessel of Light here on the podcast. What Vessel of Light song would you like to play to take us out?
Let's do One Way Out.
There you go. One Way Out. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Cool. Tormented in this living hell. There's no doubt in my mind, but I can't decide. There's only one way out.
Vessel of Light featuring Nathan Opposition. And Emily, I got to tell you, I was kind of annoyed, and it was nothing to do with Nathan, because he was great. I mean, he wanted to hang. I felt like he wanted to hang all day, but I drove 45 minutes out to Dingbats to do this interview with Nathan. And then the interview gets cut short by this kind of obnoxious...
You got a sound check.
Yeah, vessel of
time
light.
Time for your sound check.
Roadie. And I was just like, are you kidding me? We get 5,000 streams and downloads on here. You're going to cut the interview short?
So how long did you have with him?
I don't know, like 12 minutes. But I didn't even get to...
12 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't even get to talk to him for vessel of light.
That's crazy. It's like, yeah. I get at least 20 with Wendy and with Steel Panther and whomever we want. 12 minutes?
Yeah, 12. That's all I was allotted after spending an hour and a half round trip driving to get to speak with Nathan. I love Nathan, and I said, it didn't feel like it was his fault because he really got pulled away. But it's like I haven't had much luck interviewing him.
So they had to sound check at what time, and the show was what time?
It's like, I don't know. It was like 5 or 6 o'clock. They went on at like 11,
and they couldn't have waited 8 more minutes.
I guess not. I don't get it myself, but. But I'm sure there was a band starting at 7, but still, it
Doors at 6:30.
Yeah. Everyone, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was the club. Maybe the club just thought, you know,
12 minutes was too long, sweetie. Yeah. That's a long interview.
So
you pushed it to the limit.
I mean, the sad thing is he didn't get to even mention Vessel of Light, which is the band he was there to promote. But anyways, maybe third time will be the charm for Nathan Opposition, because I know the first time I interviewed him, his cell phone barely worked. And I really doubt anyone listened to the interview. And this time it was a great interview until it abruptly ended. So there you go. But I will say the new Ancient Wisdom music is just awesome. I'm loving the new record. So go check it out, guys. Definitely. And on that note, let's get into Love Loaded by Wasted. Pete Way, who has been ill, you know, he was in UFO back in the day, and I saw him play with Wasted opening for Iron Maiden back in the 80s. But apparently he is going to be doing some shows in the UK. So, you know, I really hope Pete is doing well health-wise. And let's listen to some old Pete Way. This is the band Wasted, Love Loaded, going way back. I think this is 83, maybe. I'm not sure. Loaded by Wasted. Again, big thanks to BJ and Brody for buying those hoodies. We've sold a few more t-shirts, guys. Those are always great. You can hit me up on my PayPal for t-shirts, and Patreon is rocking, so let's all meet up on Patreon. And there you go. That's going to do it for today. Emily, thank you so much.
I always love hanging out with you and the Wolf Misers here.
Pearl is here. Ozzy is wet because it's raining, and I took him for a rare walk. He doesn't get out much anymore, but yeah, he enjoyed walking in the rain. So there you go. All right. Goodbye.